do have a few personal things that I want to say this morning, since it's the last time I get to be in this place as your pastor. But we should probably say a few things about the Sadducees and the resurrection before I go there. The Sadducees were the folks who ran the temple and all the worship establishment that surrounded it. The Sadducees and the Pharisees disagreed on a lot of things, but the one thing that brought them together was that they all thought Jesus was bad news. So when the Sadducees ask Jesus about the resurrection, they aren't coming here to sit at his feet and learn from him. This is the Sadducees trying to get their gotcha moment on Jesus. They want to catch him in something and make him look stupid on this issue of the resurrection. Because the Sadducees are these super conservative Jews, they only take the first five books of the Bible as authoritative scripture. They didn't even consider the rest of the Hebrew scriptures to be holy. And one of the things that came with this was that they did not believe in any sort of resurrection from the dead. They basically said, hey, it's not explicitly in the Torah, which is the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It doesn't say in there anything about resurrection, and so therefore the Sadducees didn't believe in one. So they try to trip Jesus up with this absurd example about a woman widowed over and over again, and whose wife will she be in the resurrection? But the way that Jesus answers them shows that there is a lot they have misunderstood. We might say today, well, the fact that they were talking about this woman like she was property, first of all, that's problematic, right? But basically what Jesus points out is that this is not the way that the resurrection works. Marriage is a wonderful thing for this life. But in the resurrection, Jesus says, you don't have to worry about marriage, which we should say does not mean that we aren't reunited with the ones we love in the resurrection. I don't think that is what this is about. The way I think about it, it's just more like we are in perfect and full relationship with God and all people in the resurrection. But Jesus' basic point seems to be this: the life of the resurrection is deeper, it's richer, it's fuller than simply taking this life with all of its problems and joys and stretching it out and making it last forever. I mean, think about that. Would you really want a life just like the one that you have now that was an infinite eternity long? The resurrection is about more than that. It's not just about how much life there is, but what the quality of that life is like. Presumably, that life is the way God intends for life to be for us. And who better to know what's good for us and what we want and need than the God who made us? If you believe in Jesus, then pretty clearly the Sadducees were wrong about the resurrection. That's why we are a hopeful people, because we believe that this life is not all that there is. Because Jesus has died and was raised, we believe that we too will be raised along with all those whom God claims. For, as Job reminds us, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And that seems as good a way, as good a word as any for this pastor to go out on. So thanks be to God who claims us and gives us that abundant life. Now, on a more personal note, the middle of this week, I finally got around to doing what I'd not been able to do before. I pulled out this box full of cards that you all had written to me about a month ago for a beautiful Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. Such a kind gesture to receive all those nice words, and I was touched to receive them then, that day a month ago. But I also had this weird knowledge in my head that there was this other congregation that same day who was in the process of issuing me a call, and the timing really could not have been worse on that. So I think it was guilt that kept me from opening all these cards. I felt guilty receiving all these kind words and appreciations from you, and then knowing I was having to leave you. So I let this box sit on the back of my desk for 3.5 weeks until it finally seemed disrespectful to all of you who had taken the time to write to me these beautiful words, only to have had me not open them yet. So this week, with all this swirl of emotions happening, excitement about new things, surely, but a whole lot of real grief about the close of this chapter and the relationships that have been so meaningful to us these last years, I started opening cards. And my goodness, it was beautiful and it was painful. Things can be beautiful and painful, right? It brought into sharp relief how much my family and I have been blessed these last 5 years to be here with you. I was ordained right here, and both of my babies were baptized right there. It has been an honor through all of this to be your pastor. Whether I had had those big deals go on here or not, it was the relationships that have been so meaningful for me. You let me walk with you in the most sacred moments of your lives as you welcomed your children or said goodbye to loved ones. And through it all, it has been my honor to be your pastor. Thank you for that and for letting us be a part of you. I am genuinely going to be really excited to hear what comes next for Holly Grove, what God is up to in this place now. And I have been praying for you for a long time, and I will be praying for you for a long time, and for whoever the Spirit is already maybe nudging, and who is going to be your new pastor in this place. The words of 2 Thessalonians we heard today seem like an appropriate closing. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and through grace gave us an eternal comfort and good hope, may the Lord comfort your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and deed. Amen. Thanks be to God.